This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled, Did the Spiritual Gift Stop? A Biblical and Historical Exploration. It offers a simplified overview of how spiritual gifts such as tongues, prophecy, and healing were viewed in the early church, how they've been misunderstood in modern times, and what scripture and tradition tell us about their proper use today. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as section headings, the appendix, and the full bibliography have been left out. To explore those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who wish to explore this subject in greater depth. D. Gene Williams, Jr., Ph.D. Defend the Word Ministries North Point Church Introduction. The debate over spiritual gifts such as prophecy, tongues, and healing continues to divide Christian traditions, with some adopting a cessationist view and others embracing charismatic practices. This study uses Prima Scriptura as a framework to evaluate how scripture and historical church practices guide the proper use of gifts. Special attention is given to the idea of Hebrew as the primordial language, serving as a metaphor for the reverence and order required in the exercise of spiritual gifts. The study seeks to correct modern excesses in charismatic movements and avoid the pitfalls of cessationism, encouraging a continuationist approach that reflects the sacredness seen in early church practices. Spiritual gifts and sacred communication. An early church perspective. Key sections and insights. Early church perspectives on spiritual gifts. Origen, Jerome, and Ephrem the Syrian viewed gifts as sacred tools for building up the church, never for personal glorification. Gifts like tongues and prophecy were treated with reverence, emphasizing their role in edifying the church community. Ephrem noted that spiritual gifts were vital for guiding believers toward maturity in Christ. Any misuse of these gifts could lead to division and disorder. Hebrew as the primordial language. A metaphor for sacred communication, Hebrew was seen by early theologians as the original language of divine communication, embodying clarity and reverence. This concept serves as a model for how gifts like tongues should be treated, with the same reverence and clarity required of divine speech. While some modern charismatics appeal to tongues of angels to justify unintelligible speech, early church thinkers emphasized intelligibility and edification. Biblical interpretation through early church lens. 1 Corinthians 12-14, sacredness and order. John Chrysostom viewed Paul's reference to tongues of angels as a rhetorical device, not a literal endorsement of ecstatic speech. The early church stressed that gifts should promote unity and love, ensuring that the body of Christ is built up, not divided. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 8-10, when the perfect comes. Cessationists argue that the perfect refers to the completion of the biblical canon. However, early church commentators, including Jerome, saw it as referring to Christ's return. Until the eschatological fulfillment, gifts remain necessary for edification and spiritual growth. 2. Tongues as restored divine communication. Pentecost, tongues reverse the confusion of languages at Babel, enabling divine truth to reach all nations. For early church fathers, tongues were understood languages, contrasting with the private prayer languages promoted by some modern movements. Historical context. Cessationism versus continuationism. Cessationism arose much later, primarily during the Reformation, as some theologians argued that gifts ceased with the apostolic age. However, early church writings overwhelmingly support a continuationist view, seeing gifts as essential until Christ's return. Theological considerations. The primordial language as a guide Hebrew's sacredness reminds the modern church that spiritual gifts are not for personal emotionalism but are sacred tools for conveying God's truth. Disorderly practices in some charismatic movements must be realigned with Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians 14, ensuring that gifts are exercised with discernment and order. The translation challenge in modern glossolalia. One of the common practices in some modern churches is speaking in tongues, also called glossolalia, where someone speaks in an unknown language and another person interprets what was said. First glance, this might seem similar to the gift of tongues described in the Bible. But there's an important question to consider. Where is the miracle? In the Bible, the gift of tongues was miraculous because it allowed people to speak in real, intelligible languages they had never learned. In Acts 2, for example, the apostles spoke in languages that people from different nations could understand. Those listening were amazed, saying, "How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language?" It was clear that God was doing something supernatural. Today, however, the situation is often quite different. If someone speaks in an unintelligible tongue and another person translates it into the same language that everyone already speaks, for instance, translating glossolalia into English for an English-speaking audience, it can raise some valid concerns. An unbeliever in the audience might reasonably ask, why couldn't the message have been spoken in plain English to begin with? Without the clear evidence of a miracle, it's hard to see how this could serve as a sign of God's power, especially for those who don't yet believe. What does the Bible say? The Apostle Paul addressed this issue in 1 Corinthians 14, where he emphasized that tongues must be understandable to benefit the church. He explained that if a message in tongues is not clear or interpreted in a way that builds up others, it can lead to confusion. Paul even said that if outsiders come into a gathering and hear unintelligible speech, they might think the speakers are out of their minds. Paul's teaching reminds us that the gift of tongues was never meant to cause confusion or draw attention to the speaker. Instead, it was meant to glorify God and help others understand his message. If the miraculous element of speaking in tongues is missing, the practice loses much of its intended purpose and risks appearing as human invention rather than a work of the Holy Spirit. The existence of counterfeits implies the genuine counterfeits only exist because there is something genuine to imitate. This is a principle we see throughout Scripture. False prophets arise to twist the truth proclaimed by God's real prophets, Jeremiah 23 verses 16 to 17, and counterfeit miracles are performed to distract people from God's authentic works. In every case, the counterfeit has no meaning unless the original exists. This logic also applies to spiritual gifts. Counterfeit forms of tongues, prophecy, or healing are present. It strongly suggests that the true gifts of the Spirit are still available. Counterfeits wouldn't exist if there was no genuine form to imitate. Early church leaders like Origen and Chrysostom recognized this and worked to safeguard the gift's sacredness and integrity, ensuring their proper use in building up the church. Today, the presence of counterfeit practices reminds us to seek the genuine gifts of the Spirit with prayer, discernment, and reverence. Rather than dismissing spiritual gifts altogether, we are called to discern their true form and use them to glorify God and strengthen the church. Reflect. How can we, as the body of Christ, better identify and embrace the true gifts of the Spirit in our lives and churches today? Conclusion. A balanced approach to spiritual gifts. The early church provides a model for understanding and practicing spiritual gifts with sacredness, clarity, and order. This study argues for a continuationist approach grounded in scripture, reason, and historical tradition. Just as Hebrew was revered as a sacred language, spiritual gifts should be handled with caution and reverence, ensuring they build up the body of Christ. By following the early church's example, the modern church can avoid both cessationist errors and charismatic excesses. Gifts like tongues and prophecy continue today, but they must always align with biblical discernment and the edifying purpose seen in early Christian tradition.